and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, October 22nd. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. Do you want to expand your product line but don't have the time to make it all yourself? Let Essential Wholesale help you blow up your beauty business. Learn more at www.essentialwholesale.com. These days, more of us use the Internet to network and share common interests and concerns. But while the Internet is a great option to have, it can never take the place of a face-to-face meeting. A few years back, we heard talk that in-person gatherings and conferences were a thing of the past. But today's guest says that as long as they're properly planned to maximize efficiencies, not only can they be fun, but they can also be profitable. Shannon Kilkenny is the author of The Complete Guide to Successful Event Planning. So who better than to shed some light on how to plan the perfect gathering to showcase, promote, and sell your products, especially as we move into the fall and seek ways to successfully leverage the holiday season to increase sales. We'll take your questions and comments. Do join us, 800-773-0366, or you can email your questions to info@indiebusinessradio.com. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Shannon.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
Well, you know, let's start with a general introduction of who you are, Shannon, and how you got into the event planning business.
Well, I think more than anything, it was a natural progression. It was something that I actually did as a child, is gathering the neighborhood together, the neighborhood kids, and putting on small events. And that just kind of went through my high school, and then into college, it kind of came more of a professional career for me, although I didn't even know it, putting together conferences with regional colleges. And then from college, it went on to, I worked in a casino in Reno and then a hotel in San Francisco, and it just all started coming together to where I was always bringing people together either for pleasure, for education, to launch a new product. And so I really dabbled in all different realms before I started out on an independent event planner.
Well, it's really fascinating that you mentioned that your business is an outgrowth not only of something that you're obviously good at, but something that you really just have this sort of inborn passion for. I mean, you've just always, it's always been there, even when you were a kid in your neighborhood?
Oh, yes.
That's fascinating. That's like the indie spirit at work. You get your passions and your talents together, and you create a way to make a living.
A living at it, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, here we are going into the holiday season, and, you know, it is the time of parties and events and everything, and I know you have a lot of expertise in a lot of different types of parties, and, you know, I'd like to focus on some of the common themes that run across different kinds of events, no matter what they are. And, you know, with your experience in the larger event planning area, Shannon, what basic tips can you offer just to start out for people who want to kind of take some of those large-scale tips and to-do lists and translate them into a smaller arena, like a small event or a hosted party or something to promote your products?
Well, you know, Donna Marie, what I found in especially writing the book, when I wanted to put together an A to Z, you know, from idea, conception, to the follow-through and the thank you notes. And in doing that, and I had to dig back into all of my experience and history, I found that regardless, really, if it's a small event or a very large event, there are common denominators. There's just elements to every event, regardless of what they're for, who they're for, where they are, or how big they are.
Mm-hmm.
So those, once you kind of have those, that knowledge of those, I think that there's 11 of them,
mm-hmm.
that regardless of what the event is or who's coming or where it is, they all fall into the planning process.
Right, right.
But I think the main thing and the main theme is, why are you having the party, and what do you want the people that are coming to leave with?
Mm-hmm.
And then you really shape the event around that.
So, in other words, what's in it for the people you want to come? What's in it for me? Answering that question.
Exactly. Exactly. What is the vision? You know, what is the goals and the I look at the goals and the objectives together create the vision.
And so once you wrap your hands around that, you've essentially given yourself the ability to create a blueprint for making it work. Is that, I mean,
absolutely, because everything then follows from that main vision. So where the site that you're going to select to have the event, how you're going to promote the event, you know, the verbiage, the graphics, all of that will be based upon that vision. You know, who you're going to invite will be based on the vision. The agenda, you know, what's going to happen from A to Z will be based on that vision. Even what you serve and what kind of food and beverage are part of it or the theme, it's all really based on the vision. And I have noticed through my experience that people who say, oh, this would be a great idea, let's do it and do it without really digging a little bit deeper to find that vision,
mm-hmm.
have a harder time. You know, the more confirmed and refined that vision is from the beginning, the better the event will go off, and then the people that are participating, and when they leave, they'll leave with what you intended them to leave with.
So, Shannon, do you recommend that when you have your idea for this event, that you actually sit down and put pen to paper and start charting some of this stuff out?
Yes, yes. And if there are more people involved, you know, and of course, on the larger events, there are a lot of different roles and responsibilities, and so you may have a whole team that are working together to put on an event. It's important that you bring all the team members in from the beginning, so you're all working off that same vision.
So let's say I have some products that I'd like to, you know, take advantage of the holiday season and have an event with maybe five other product manufacturers that complement, maybe not necessarily compete with mine, but they complement mine. I want to get together with them and have an event. What are some of the first things that I need to do just to generate their interest in doing this with me?
Well, what's the goal? What's the outcome? What is in it for them?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can, you can provide them with, you know, or entice them, or, you know, get their wheels spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And give them enough information to where they want to participate, they want to be a part of. You have a little convincing to do if you know from the beginning what your vision is.
Right. So I guess once you get them on board and they're interested in working on the project and maybe they see increased sales or visibility or something that they can get out of it, then they can help you put together what needs to be communicated to the people who would actually come to the event and the consumers that would come to the event.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. And so, Shannon, you've got a section in your book called What Do We Call It? And I know this is something that, you know, people struggle with. Like, you'd have a crystal clear vision of anything, your business, your event, and then it's like, but what am I going to call this? What are some tips on choosing a good name for your event, Shannon?
Again, it really goes back to, and the vision, you know, in the pre-planning process, which is where you formulate that vision, is you really do look at the participants and the audience. And once you know who they are, then you can start to design the verbiage and the whole idea towards them.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that you're going to use and call it what's in their language.
Okay.
So they'll understand without having to, you know, read a full page about what you're going to be doing in a few words by the title or by the subtitle. You can communicate what's in it for them.
So maybe putting yourself in the position of the people you want to come and see what titles would entice you.
Yes.
To take your time from your busy schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
Show up at their event.
And you know that we're all so busy, and everyone says, I want to come, you know, I really like what your product or what you're selling or your service, but I just don't have the time. So what is it going to take for them to say, you know what, I really do have an hour for that?
So, Shannon, do you ask people that? I mean, if that's the response, I'm getting the impression and from you and also just looking at my own life that it is. It's like, you know, that sounds so fabulous and so worthwhile. But, you know, I got soccer practice and dinner and date night with my husband. I can't fit it in. But you know deep down inside that if they really pushed you over the edge and enticed you, you would come. So how do you, what are some ideas or inspiration for people in that position to help them? I mean, you don't want to bug anybody and send them 50,000 emails. What are some general tips on how to get that person in my position to go, you know, I think this is worth it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a home base. I'm a distributor for Mona V.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also am trying to get, you know, entice people to come over. And everyone's interested in tasting it or trying it or hearing about it. So what I've done, there's not any more words that I can really use to describe the product or the party itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to keep repeating the tasting meeting.
Okay.
I keep having to offer the opportunity for them to come. And at some point in their busy lives, they're going to make that hour.
So it's repetition, a lot of it.
Repetition, absolutely. And especially in the home-based business, and I think that's a lot of what your audience is.
Absolutely.
So it is repetition, repetition, repetition. And then, you know, once, you know, I'm probably speaking to the choir here, but, you know, once you have a few people who are, you know, also lovers of the product or the service that you have to offer, and mm-hmm. having them be there for testimonials,
mm-hmm.
getting them to be involved and
mm-hmm.
you know, just keep the energy going. And I live in a small town, so I have quite a challenge ahead of me.
Right, right. How long have you been doing the distributorship business?
Only 6 months.
Okay.
It's new to me.
So then you're already finding that you're able to carry over some of your event planning expertise to have these distributor meetings.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my event planning capabilities pretty much play a role in almost everything I do. You know, the organization
mm-hmm.
portion of it. It's like the checklist that I have in my book that I created, you know, many years into my my business after I found out I was trying to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wait a minute, let's just write this down, and then I have a template to follow.
Well, let's talk about that then for a second. The way you're using your independent consulting business, are you planning to have any kind of holiday gathering to try and promote the sales of the product?
You know, we will. We certainly will. And I say that because my sponsor lives close by, too, and we'll work together. And I have a couple of sponsees here as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the truth, we haven't gotten that far. But that will happen.
So let's think about what if you were going to plan it, and you're looking at October 22nd now. That doesn't give a whole lot of time, believe it or not, until
I know.
It's amazing how it creeps up on us. But let's say you're listening to the show right now and you're like, you know, what a great idea. I think I probably could drum up some sales from, you know, some people in my neighborhood who have complimentary products. What's the basic checklist between now and let's say you're going to have it 2 weeks before Christmas Day?
First, I'd find the site because we're late in getting the site. So it's not going to be inside your home.
Really? Okay.
Outside the home, I would, you know, find a place right away because around the holidays, places that are nice venues are usually booked early.
Now, why wouldn't it be in your home?
Well, if it's going to be bigger than what you can accommodate.
Oh, okay. So choose your site, and if it's going to be bigger, then go someplace else. So let's say that we're so late that we're not going to be able to get a location.
Uh-huh.
And we want to do it at home. So you've chosen either, you know, your home or one of the partners that you're doing it with.
Uh-huh.
What comes next, Shannon, on your shortened time list? Because we only have, 6 or 8 weeks here.
Right. I would start creating the invitation.
Okay.
Whatever that will look like, you know, and it'll probably come in different forms. So more than likely there will be an email blast of some sort. A nice little postcard might be created. That goes actually in the mail. There might be a flyer that may be posted in your neighborhood. There might be a nice little postcard that you can carry with you and hand out to people when you see them. So then, again, it goes back to, you know, creating that vision of what you want and finding the words and correctly name, you know, correctly put in. You know, your card is only 3x5, and you don't want to, you know, put too much verbiage in there, so you want to pick your words correctly. So I'd say getting your invitation in the verbiage would come very early on, one of the first things I would do.
You know, last year, Shannon, I was grocery shopping, and I was living, I had just moved into a new town from where I had lived for years. And so I'm open to new things, you know, I still am, but at that time I certainly was. And there was a poster in the grocery store for a cooking utensil company that was hosting a holiday party, and she had gathered like 10 or 11 other people. You know, there were some jewelry makers, there were some other types of people that had food and other things, and she had basically cleaned out the whole first floor of her house. But the interesting thing was that what got me to her house, as busy as I was during the holiday season, was that she had put on there, bring your children, we'll have toys for them to play with.
Right, right, right.
And so is that an example of putting yourself in the position of the busy person that you're inviting?
Your audience, absolutely. If your audience are mothers with small children, then absolutely accommodate that.
Okay, good. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more about this with Shannon Kilkenny, the author of The Complete Guide to Successful Event Planning. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with Shannon Kilkenny, The Complete Guide to Successful Event Planning. And Shannon is sharing a host of tips to help us get ready for any kind of event, but more specifically for a promotional product, like a product party event that we can host over the holidays. And before we took our break, she had shared with us that one of the first things you want to do is kind of define the event, then get your invitations together, and make sure you send those out and direct them to be attractive to the people that you want to attend your event. And Shannon, let's talk for a second about the money, the budget. Let's talk about how do you budget for something like this? What are the big buckets that can, you know, suck your cash?
Food and beverage.
Okay.
That is almost always the most expensive portion of any event.
Is it also one of the things that attracts people to come, too, right?
It certainly can be. It certainly can be. And I'll just talk about a little bit of my experience with my new distributorship. And my product actually is a food and beverage. So in the beginning, I was actually putting out a lot of food for people. And it almost was a distraction to what I was trying to present. And I was having them in the evening, and people were more attracted to the food than they were to listening. So that's another thing. I just bring that up to pay attention to, you know, providing something for them to snack on or eat, but not overdoing it to take away from whatever you're presenting.
So how do you do that, Shannon, when it seems to me like snacking is such a bit, particularly as a mom, I have small kids, I might be bringing them with me. It's one of the ways I keep them happy while I'm shopping.
Absolutely.
How do you balance that? I mean, you've got to have something, but how do you avoid overkill? I mean, sometimes I guess you do it because your budget won't let you overkill. But
exactly.
Other than that, how do you avoid overdoing it and making people not making them feel like you basically are trying to suck them into a nothing product by telling them you're going to feed them.
More for it's experience. It's finding what the people like. And I was overdoing it in the beginning. And then as I started paring back, you know, and just putting out little finger foods, and a lot of that is not really even so much the food, it's being able to bring the people, you know, they walk into your home, it's nice, it's warm, it's cozy, it's inviting, there's a table full of food, they go directly to that. It's, you know, and that's great because there's that little social moment, but it's, then it's really important to find that moment to say, okay, it's time to come away from that and pay attention to your, you know, your introduction and to, you know, what they're really there for. So if they're dipping shrimp over
right
there or, you know, smoked salmon, it's going to be harder to pull them away from that.
So, I mean, do you let people come in and mingle for a minute and then move all the food?
Mm-mm. Never, never.
Or do you just kind of invite everybody to a different part of the house to
yes
start
yes
a part of the program? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you give people a reason to move away from that. But
yes, absolutely. And that, you know, that comes from having a dynamic introduction,
mm-hmm,
you know, or, you know, this great segue and, you know, please come in and join me in here. But really, unless it's a long event, unless it's exactly at the dinner hour, I would be very, you know, careful not to put out too much or spend too much for the food.
So let's talk for a second about that. How long should something like this be? I mean, should this be, or I guess it could be as long as you want it to be, but what do you recommend for people who are really doing it? You know, again, we're crunch time here. It's October 22nd.
Right, right. I'm finding, you know, when you bring a group of people in together, they're so diverse that some want to hear just enough information, and others want to hear every detail of it. So I think that you should say it's going to be 45 minutes to an hour. Anyone who has more questions or would like more information can stay. So
okay,
you're appeasing the people who only need the smaller amount of information.
Mm-hmm.
They can get up and go if they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also saving time afterwards and inviting people to stay for more information.
So it's helpful to have like a little takeaway from them for them, like a small brochure or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Never
so
let them leave without something in their hands.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so,
in fact, going back to the budget, I would rather put money into the product information than I would into the food.
So, what should we put in the budget besides the food?
I think product information. You know, I'm sure you have such a diverse audience, and their products and services are very different. But most of the time, there is materials that you can buy from the corporate office, and I would suggest that you have ample amount of information that they can take home with them,
mm-hmm,
and go ahead and put your money into that.
Because, mm-hmm,
you know, it's like you're opening a small business, and if you were opening a small business that actually was down at the corner store, you know, was a corner store, you would have to put so much money into marketing and advertising.
Right.
So you have to do that in this small, because this is a business, and part of that business is the marketing. So I would make sure that there's ample material for them to take home with them.
And Shannon, what are your suggestions for using technology to promote your event?
I'm all for it because that is a money saver. You know, you start adding up postage and nice paper because you're going to want, you know, if you're going to make something that you can hand out, you're going to want it on nice paper and you want it to look nice. And there's cost involved in all that. But a good, nice email blast, I think, is as important as any other form of advertising.
Okay, so sending out email newsletters, or I guess even if you already have one, it's even better because then you already have a vehicle to get inside people's computers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that you can send out 5 weeks in advance,
mm-hmm,
and then another one at 4 weeks.
Right.
Another, you know, just a reminder, and up until the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that's how people plan.
So, Shannon, what are some of your tips for someone who wants to have an event that's, you know, on a larger scale than what we've been talking about. Maybe someone who's got a service-related business or even, you know, some sort of, like, a trade organization business or wants to even just start an event-based club in their area. I know, for example, a few months ago I started getting emails from a business colleague that I met here where I live, and she started having these bi-monthly sort of business gatherings at some restaurant somewhere. And one of the things, Shannon, kind of goes back to what you were talking about, I couldn't figure out why I should go.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, it was like, you know, networking, meet other people, promote your business. And I was kind of like, well, that's kind of what I'll be doing from my laptop during that time frame. What are some tips? Are there, like, any buzzwords or tips that, I mean, I like that person. I would have loved to have gone and spent time with her, but I was like, but, you know, what am I going to take away from this?
Right. Well, right along those same lines, I'm speaking to a group of Women, Wealth, and Wine. They meet
Women, Wealth, and Wine.
Women, Wealth, and Wine, and they meet once a month, and they have wine and share with one another what they're doing out there in the world, in the financial world, you know, whether it be real estate or stocks or home-based businesses, whatever is working for them. These women come together for 2 hours once a month and share these ideas. And they actually, and I've been invited to speak, and I have yet to go to one of their meetings because I just met these women. So, but in her confirmation to me about speaking, she talks about why one would come to Women, Wealth, and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
She bullet points and tells me, or tells anyone who's getting this email, why they want to come.
Okay. That's a really good point that you can use for everything from what you're describing to your party to sell your products at the holiday.
Exactly.
Bullet points, yeah, to break it down. Now, Women, Wealth, and Wine, that sounds really fascinating because it uses alliteration.
Yes.
And it combines three things that women are interested in,
each other,
money, and booze.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting, though, because it's so interesting that they combine that because everybody wants to make more money and be wealthy and all that, you know, create wealth, whatever that is for you. But that's work.
Mm-hmm. It is work.
So when you combine that with, you know, a little light, you know, light beverage, shall we say,
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then you kind of can mix the work and the fun, and everybody gets two things out of it, not just one.
Exactly. And so they've created this avenue for people to come and share like that. They've defined, you know, so whoever put this together from the beginning defined why we would all want to come together.
Right, and it's defined in the title. You don't have to read the bullet points to get a clue.
Right, but they're kind of these, and the bullet points are more the takeaways.
Right. But you don't have to read much further to get an idea, and that's so critical. I love that you gave that example. That's a perfect example of what, right, everybody needs to think about to do what you said at the top of the show, which was you have to define what's in it for the people you want to come.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
A great example. So when you work with, you know, on a larger scale, Shannon, and you're working with conference planning, I mean, I'm looking at your book here, and I see on the cover there's a, looks like a wedding reception with, you know, 5 bazillion people ready to be seated there. I mean, what kinds of things, you know, what kinds of things would you put on the biggest mistakes people make to plan events list?
The biggest mistake, probably making assumptions, not following through.
Mm-hmm.
And an example of not following through is, for example, creating, you know, the menu and telling the caterer and then assuming that they're going to take care of everything. You know, not having some follow-up. And then not finding out until 10 minutes before the food is served that something's missing or something's wrong. You know, it really is a constant follow-up, follow-through, keep on top of everybody, you know, because if you're doing a large event, there are just an incredible amount of people involved that you're dealing with. So that's why the checklists come in handy, and that's why you really need to be organized.
And you've got some of these checklists in the book, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
You've got a companion CD-ROM there, too, where you can download some of these checklists.
Well, and then I put them in Word format so one can create it uniquely for their own event, because they all are very different.
You can edit your download to,
you know, what I have in there may not be applicable to your particular event, so you can delete that and throw in whatever really is unique to your event. And you can put your logo on top of it, and especially if you have to pass it out to other people, you can make it look very professional and very very much your own.
And what are some of your suggestions, Shannon, for having an event that's environmentally friendly? I know that so many of us, whether it's going to be in your home or at a hotel, you know, we want to be concerned that we're being as kind as possible to the environment as we get all these people together in one venue and obviously tax it a little bit. What are some of your suggestions for that?
Well, if we're going on the large-scale events, there are a lot of events that are held at hotels, conference centers, etc., I'm amazed and pleased to say that a lot of them are already taking enormous steps to greening their facility. So one of the things that I would do if I were going to plan my next event, and I knew it was going to be, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so if it was going to be in downtown San Francisco, I would call hotels and I would ask them what their environmental practices are in their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would make sure before I chose a venue that they were following a certain standard of environmental practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you can't, the venue is chosen for you, perhaps, so you can't deviate for a different venue, but you can then go and help and train the venue itself to have better environmental practices. You know, while I'm here, while my group is here, I'd really like it that you recycle. How can we make it that for those 1 day, 4 days, whatever it is, that you can do some of these things for me, that you can compost, that you can give away any leftover food to some of the women's shelters or homeless shelters.
Right,
so
right.
You can take your standards with you to a venue if you're already stuck with the venue. But, you know, first of all, I would look and try to find a place that is already having environmental practices.
You know, Shannon, event planning is, tell me some of the things that you've noticed about the event planning industry that have changed over the past several years, particularly with respect to, you know, the advent of the Internet. And we should probably take that question off the air for a little bit so we can get to a break. But if you could think about that before we come back, that would be great, because I think we have seen some changes. The Internet has changed so many things, and certainly event planning has got to be one of those things. I'd like to share your expertise with our listeners.
Okay.
Do join us, 800-773-0366, with your questions or comments for Shannon Kilkenny, author of The Complete Guide to Successful Event Planning. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We're talking to Shannon Kilkenny, the author of The Complete Guide to Successful Event Planning. And before we took our break, Shannon was going to tell us a little bit about some of the changes she has noticed that have affected the event planning industry over the past 10 or so years with the advent of the Internet and the environment. Shannon, what sorts of things have you noticed?
One of the things that comes off the top of my head is the video streaming and webcasting availability and how that has offered a lot of people who have products and services to offer people the chance to reach a much larger audience. Whereas if they wanted to put on a seminar or workshop, it was usually a local event. Whereas now, being able to put that exact same information onto the internet, it has availed them an unlimited audience. So that's one avenue that has changed dramatically. And in that same vein, people who cannot perhaps attend some sort of a conference or convention where there's a trade convention where there's a lot of education going on, the event planners are now creating these live streams so they can, watch an educational seminar from their desktop. They're creating podcasts so people can actually download and listen to at their convenience the same information. So people aren't having to travel as much, for one, and then also reaching a larger audience.
It's amazing. I've heard of people doing basically the entire conference on the internet.
Yes.
I mean, nothing is done offline except maybe some marketing before and after the event, the thank you notes, or if people order the workbook or order the CDs from the conference or whatever, that obviously takes place by snail mail. But, I mean, are you seeing a lot of that? And what are some of the things to consider if someone wants to do something like that?
Well, I am seeing a lot of that. And to consider, especially for those people who haven't thought about this before, to really maybe add it into their marketing plan.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the issues that you have to think about are the same. I mean, you've still got to have a good marketing hook. You still have to have reasons why people want to take their time, even if they're sitting at their computer in their home. They're still not doing something else.
It's exactly the same. But the only thing that the computer will offer you usually is that if it, I had to call in at a specific time to talk to you today.
Right.
But if I put on a seminar that's online, I can go find it at any time. If my only hour that I have available is at midnight, I can go watch it at midnight.
Right. So you could come live if you wanted to, or you could stream it.
Exactly.
Or you could buy the CD, or you could buy the transcript. I mean, it's amazing.
It's really amazing. And I'll have to say that what this is also bringing to the party, this electronic meeting, is it's become an environmental issue, too.
Oh, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, there are a lot of larger corporations that are really trying to become more environmental, to become green, are finding that one of the largest contributors to emissions is travel.
Mm-hmm.
So large companies like Cisco Systems, which is here in the California Silicon Valley, they're really trying to change their ways. So instead of having even smaller sales meetings where their sales force would travel all to maybe throughout the states, but they'd all travel to one location to meet on a very regular basis, well, they don't do that anymore. They meet online.
Mm-hmm.
They meet live, so they're they're calling that a kind of a green movement and green practice. So with that said, and as popular or as mainstream as that is becoming, we will never, ever not have conferences and conventions and events where people meet face-to-face, because mm-hmm. nothing will replace that.
Yeah, that's such a huge that's such a huge point that you're making.
Yes.
How do you make that point when people's response is so often, well, I can get that on the internet. I can do that on the internet.
Yeah. Well, that's our challenge. The internet is still new and it's changing all the time. The technology is changing all the time, and we're all, it's such a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
It's really such a learning curve, and it's learning as we go along.
Right.
So how to attract, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to answer that question correctly.
Yeah, you know, and I guess it would vary depending on who the audience was or what the event was, because let's face it, right, some things are more suited. I mean, you can't have your wedding reception online.
That's right.
But some things are obviously more suited to the technological mediums than other things. So you really have to kind of think it through.
Right.
So, Shannon, let's go back to our hypothetical company that's got another couple of weeks to put together, a holiday party. What are some of the inexpensive things, vehicles that they can use to, aside from the email newsletter that you mentioned, are there any other inexpensive vehicles to kind of marketing that? I guess they could all get together and put something at their individual websites, or what are your suggestions along those lines?
Well, that works well. If you're having several vendors come together to make the party, then I think you should all share the responsibility of giving it out to their individual people.
Mm-hmm.
Share the wealth and share the cost.
Now, what about after the event, Shannon? I remember one time I heard someone say after a conference that I had attended, Donna, thanks for coming. We're going to be sending you a postmortem.
Oh, my.
I remember going, okay. I had no idea what that was. Of course, I've heard the term.
Uh-huh.
Now, but tell us a little bit about, well, first tell us what a postmortem is, Shannon, and then how important it is to do follow-up after your event.
It's very important, but first of all, I wouldn't call it that.
You know what I mean, right?
Oh, of course.
I don't know why that person called it that. I remember thinking, well, gee, I plan to still be alive, though, after this conference.
Well, you know, people, event planners and people who are participating in events like that really have kind of an after-event, I don't want to say breakdown, but there is like this lull, like, because it's so intense and so exciting, the build-up to the event and during the event, and all of a sudden it's all over.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a second, Shannon, because I attended a conference not too long ago. I was an attendee, not a speaker, and I found that was so fascinating. After the event, I was so fired up to do all the stuff, learn from the speakers and blah, blah, blah. And then I contacted some of them and some of the event planners and coordinators, and they were like, we're exhausted. We can't talk to you right now.
Well, all the energy was passed from, you know, their hands to yours.
Right, exactly. So, but post-mortem being following up, how important?
Following up is very important. It's very, very important. And if it's a very large conference that people are attending, I think one has to be very careful that the next week, I like to wait a little longer. If it's a smaller event and you can actually, you know, it was a more personalized event, following up 3 days later is acceptable.
Okay.
At a large event where a lot of contacts were made, sometimes personally as an attendee, I get bombarded by, especially if a conference, you know, you're passing out your business cards and everyone wants to reach you right away. It's almost too much as a participant to receive all that stuff. So if it's a larger conference where the attendee might be bombarded, I might tend to wait longer.
Okay. Give them a little break.
Give them a little break. Let all this other stuff come through, and then you come in.
Uh-huh. Otherwise, they might hit the delete key because they're just so tired, and you won't have another step.
Not another one.
Right.
Because that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. But a week later, 2 weeks later, something comes in. I think, they're still thinking about me.
So is that what this person meant by postmortem? It's just like, we're going to follow up with you to see what you thought of our event. I mean, I got the impression she was trying to get, like, me to give her some feedback so she would know what to do or what not to do next time around. What worked, what didn't work, do you know what I mean?
There's
two different kinds of follow-up there.
Right, evaluations, because you're talking about two different things there. An evaluation is priceless.
Okay.
You can get your people, the attendees, to fill out an evaluation.
Now, do you suggest generally that it's best to do that on site, or is it best to do that like by a survey that you email to them a week or so after the event? Or both?
On site,
okay.
On site, because it's fresh in their mind. Mm-hmm. You know, but with that said, you have to also give them the opportunity to do that. Don't just say, you know, you have an hour seminar and the hour's up and you hand them a piece of paper and say, oh, before you leave, will you fill this out?
Right.
You give them 5 to 10 minutes of that hour to do that.
Okay, okay.
Because they're on to the next thing.
Right. That's so true. That is true.
So, you know, and some sort of an appreciation of, you know, even if you really, really want the evaluations to be completed, you can have some sort of a raffle. You know, I'm going to pull out of all the evaluations and give away an iPod or a free CD or a free book of whatever the product or service is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're enticed to give you feedback.
That's an interesting point that you mentioned, that you're going to give away an iPod. Do you have any tips for people who are looking for sponsors like that? I don't know if there's, you know, there's not like a across the board way to do that or way not to do that. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because so much of what attracts a person to attend an event is that it's affiliated with some other brand name that they're familiar with.
Yes. Yes. And the only thing that I say about sponsorship is make sure it's a fit.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not
right.
Just pulling someone who also is, you know, willing to give away or you know, put in money just to have their name brand out there. If it's not a fit,
right,
it's really not worth
right.
it.
Women, Wealth, and Wine sponsored by your local toy store.
Exactly.
Probably not. Okay. Okay.
Exactly. And, you know, I did, early on in my career, I did a lot of sporting events in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a lot of fun. I learned a lot at that point. It was going out and finding all these wonderful sporting items that would actually fit with the race.
Right.
You know? And does Cornets fit with a bicycle event?
Right.
You know, and in reality, it did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everybody got Cornets after the event, and Orangina or whatever beverage, and, you know, there were fanny packs. And so everything that was sponsored was something that the athlete or the participant would use in their life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's an idea, too, that even if you're having sort of this home-based holiday promotional event where you're going to sell your product, there's a chance, I guess, Shannon, if you looked around, that there may be some companies that might not be able to actually participate in person and sell their stuff, but who might be interested in sponsoring the event by paying a small sum in exchange for you having their stuff there.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. So it really does boil down to large or small, really planning and being creative and making sure that you focus on what's in it for the people that you're trying to get to take time out of their lives to come.
That's right. It's all in the vision, in the pre-planning of it all.
Well, Shannon, believe it or not, we've come to the end of our time here together. Can you tell us how we can get in touch with you to learn more about you and how to get your book?
Absolutely. You can go to my website at www.successfulleventplanning.com.
And your book's there, and also your calendar of events where you'll be speaking?
That's correct.
So those out there in San Francisco can get together with Women, Wealth, and Wine and meet Shannon and have some wealth and wine. Sounds good to me.
That's right. And I'll be in Florida and Texas and Georgia and Texas again and Nevada. I'm traveling around, so.
Oh, good. Good. So you can hit all four corners. So everybody out there, check out Shannon's website and find out where she is, and also get her book. If you're planning an event, this is a must-have. It's the best do-it-yourself book available, and I've really enjoyed having it. Thank you for joining us, Shannon.
Oh, Donna Marie, it was my pleasure.
Indie Business Radio is produced by Indie Business Media. Join the discussion at the IndieBusinessBlog.com. Stream or download all of my Indie Business Radio shows at our website at IndieBusinessRadio.com. Next week, Mark Sanborn, author of the national best-selling book, The Fred Factor, will be here. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.